So I just want to say before we get started, I went to a college in New York, basically in the city, and it was a music school. It's NIAC, which is an alliance affiliate, Christian and Missionary Alliance. And believe me when I say this, that we have in this church one of the finest musicians, at least in the state of Montana. Tina is awesome. Yeah. Anyways, children are dismissed at this time. I just had to say that because it's phenomenal, seriously. I remembered what? Oh, the children? Well, I put it up here so I don't have to remember anymore. Yeah. So I talked with my mom the other day, right? And she's like, I'm kind of like not so much complaining about the weather, but I was like, it's just like Seattle here. It just doesn't quit raining. Like, what is this? She's like, yeah, she's like, when's it supposed to stop raining over there, honey? And I was like, Armageddon? And she laughed. So then I cried. Yeah. No, but seriously, yesterday was an awesome day, and I feel like everybody kind of needed that. So, if the monitor's not working in the back, so I'm going to have to turn around and look at everything. But if you haven't noticed by now, these are our doors, and you walked through them this morning, and there's a sign above the door. A local artist who wishes to remain anonymous made them. And this is what our new sermon series is on. We're going to go over In Essentials Unity this morning. And like what that means and what it looks like. In Essentials Unity, in Non-Essentials Liberty, in All Things Love. So we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, verses 1 through 16, if you'd like to turn with me. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. It says in verse 1, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying, verse 9, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to mature personhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind and doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Amen. So a little background of Ephesians, the book that we're reading out of this morning. The first three chapters of Ephesians deals with doctrine. Like, this is the doctrine that we understand as Christians. And beginning in chapter 4, it talks about our duties, our responsibilities in Christ. One way we can see that the fourth chapter explains duty and responsibility is the manner and the number Paul uses the word live, which in the Greek word is more like the word walk, peripateo, in some translations. Live is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, verse 17, chapter 5, verse 2, and 8, and 15. The first live is our discussion today. I want to ask these questions here. Who, what, why, and how? I have several purposes of asking these questions. For one, I want you to find this manner of looking at the Bible and apply it to your daily Bible reading. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want you to always think this way. Think critically of what Paul is saying in the Bible. Like, what the letters in the Bible are saying. What God is speaking to us. It's kind of like a journalist, you know? When a journalist arrives on a scene, they ask five questions, right? Who, what, where, when, why? It's kind of interesting, right? Ask these same questions of the Bible. First Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, test all things. That's including itself. Hold fast that which is good. Hold fast to what is good. Right? So do that. It's a very basic step in what is known as hermeneutics. It's the scientific processes of translating text or speech. Hermeneutics. H-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-T-I-C-S. Spell that one backwards. We'll get into some deeper processes and steps in hermeneutics some other time, but this is the one we're going to talk about today. I think you'll find it pretty interesting. But I also want us to remember that the first sign in that picture that I showed you, it says in essentials unity. Right? Well, what is that talking about? In essentials, in the essentials, have unity. Yes, things that are important. In essentials, the things that are important, be united. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is what are those things that are important? right? What are we supposed to be united in? What are the solid doctrine that cannot be divided among Christians, right? Definitely. So, Paul says in Ephesians 4, chapter 1, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I urge you. Who? Me. Us. Yes, that's a good one. Paul is answering these questions very clearly. These questions of who, what, why, and how. And it's probably because the Ephesians themselves had these questions, you know, when Paul was writing to them. It was either that Paul was answering these questions or Paul could see that they were unclear. Chapter 4 is like the central passage in the book of Ephesians. It's what the book is all about. Be united in the essentials. So, what does it look like? Paul says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now, what does it look like to live a life worthy of the calling? Verses 2 and 3 explain how to do that. They explain what it looks like. It says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is the ultimate answer. This is the theme of the book of Ephesians. What does it look like to live a life worthy of the calling? So, he elaborates in verses 4 through 6, if you'll look there with me. He says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. And those are the things that we're going to be talking about this morning. What it looks like to be united in the essentials, in the essential doctrine, as believers in Christ. There's seven basic spiritual realities that unite all true Christians. One body, the first one. Each believer is a member of the body of Christ. So you got to think about this. What do all these things mean? One body. He's saying we're all a part of one body, right? Christ is the head. We are the body. We are the body of Christ. That's what a church is, the body of Christ, right? So you feed your own body, right? You care for it. So why would you not care for other members of the body of Christ? Like, if you prize your right hand but despise your left hand, right? That's what Paul's showing us here. Like, It wouldn't make any sense to do that because they're both a part of your body. If you brought harm to your left hand, right, somebody would think, well, there's something wrong with you. And you'd want to help this person that you saw doing some harm to their body, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not normal. We take care of our bodies. We feed them. We get the right amount of sleep, right? So I feel like Paul is saying to the Ephesians, don't look at yourself as a separate thing, a separate entity, a separate being from other believers, because you're all one body. Take care of each other. This is what Paul's saying. Be united. In the essentials, unity. One Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that indwells in me. The body is a temple for the Holy Spirit, right? The same Holy Spirit that is in me is also in you, if you believe in Christ, if you trust in Him as your Lord and Savior, right? The same Holy Spirit indwells each believer. We're not better than one another. You see how that works? Because God is in each of us. Why would you not want to have the same spirit of unity with that person? And like, I think our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. See that. In the essentials, unity. Be united with one another. You're both believers in Christ. You're both brothers and sisters in Christ. Be united with them. Love them. You're on the same team. See that? Did you ever see in a football game where some of the teammates get in a fight with each other or something like that? Just ridiculous. Makes no sense. The coach has every right to stop that and like reprimand them. You're on the same team. We're fighting for one goal, right? Be united. And like, a question might come up if we're actually doing this, if we're fighting and stuff like that, is it perhaps because you do not have the love of God in your heart? Examine yourself. We have one hope. What this is talking about in verse 4, you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. This is referring to the return of Jesus, right? We have this one hope. We're not like others who don't have the hope of seeing their Savior, seeing their loved ones again. We have this hope. We discussed this last week. Jesus is coming back. Like a thief in the night. Keep watch. one Lord, our Lord Jesus, who died for us, right? The head of the church, the head of the body. The head does not want to harm. The head does not want harm to happen to its body, right? When you're in a bicycle accident, you know, it hurts. Doesn't it? Road rash, right? It's not fun. I got, in my last job, heavy equipment, I got a longboard for Christmas and went down this like super steep hill. And I was like, it's gotta be like snowboarding, right? You know? So I just didn't think anything of it. And I'm cruising down this hill at 40 miles an hour on a longboard. And Bethany's behind me in the car driving after me. And the longboard wheels, they start like vibrating because it's going so fast. It's like, and I couldn't control the board anymore, so I flew off and the board went skating away, and my elbows stopped me. So there was some pretty deep, it was not fun. Road rash. The head does not like road rash. The head of the church does not like when his body is hurting. He wants the other parts of the body to bring healing, to serve the parts that are hurting, right? I used my hands and Bethany's hands to dress my wounds because I was in pain. And then what was bad is I had to operate a 15-foot wide bulldozer blade, you know, the next day and over rocks, and they're like, the guys at work are, so are you going to go home tonight early so you can get dressed for get your wounds dressed? And I was like, actually, I'm probably going to get alcohol on them, so I think I'll work late tonight. The Lord does not want his body to hurt. Serve each other. We have one faith. This is the body of truth that Jude tells us to contend for. Jude verse 3. There's only one chapter in Jude, so it's just Jude 3. He says, contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. We're not Christians because we merely think it is right, but because we believe in the evidences of the gospel, right? Sometimes people think as long as they know the Bible well enough that they're all set. For instance, Christian cults, they're called Christian cults because they use pieces of Christianity. That's what the difference is between a cult and a Christian cult. A Christian cult is like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormonism and Christian Science and Scientology, right? A cult is like voodoo and satanic worship and all that kind of stuff. So there's a little bit of the difference there. But some of these Christian cults, they claim similar truths as Christianity, and they use the same words that Christians use, like Christian, like Jesus, Bible. They use all these words, right? But they don't mean the same thing. When a Mormon says Jesus, it's not talking about the biblical Jesus. It's talking about somebody completely different. For instance, Mormons believe that Jesus saves them from their sins after all they can do, right? But that's not what the Bible teaches. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For you have been saved through faith. You've been saved by grace through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It's not your own works. It is a gift of God." Right? Otherwise, you could boast about it. But I'm sure you've heard me talk about this before. Mormons teach that it is by grace you have been saved after all you can do. They even plagiarize the Bible. It's crazy. Joseph Smith plagiarized the Bible. So then Mormons believe that Jesus helps them to be saved. He doesn't save them. They believe that they can do some of the work required to be saved. I know a lot of people around here, they have families and loved ones and stuff in Mormonism, and I'm telling you, I pray for them. I pray that the Mormon church comes around. I have a degree in apologetics, which is like the study of religions and stuff like that, and I believe that God sent me to this place for a reason. Mormonism was one of my foci, you could say, in my second degree. I studied it pretty heavily. We had a Mormon class here, a Mormon Sunday school, you know, teaching several months ago. We'll probably have one of those every once in a while, like a refresher or something, but in any event, I don't want to go off the rabbit trail too far. We have one faith, and we are to be united in this one faith. Jude tells us to contend for this one faith. There's only one true faith, and that's what Paul is saying. And this is in our essentials, right? We have one Lord. We talked about that one Lord on Easter last week. Wasn't that last week? Yeah. Right? That Christ was crucified, that he died, that he raised again on the third day, and that he appeared to many. One Lord. One faith. Without that resurrection, there would be no faith. We have one baptism. Some people believe that this might discuss the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's unlikely. Nothing in the broader context suggests that this is the Spirit's baptism. I think what Paul is saying here is that faith in Jesus as the one Lord is and was the focus of the baptismal confession. Right? You're baptized because you're showing an outward sign of an inward change. You're showing that you believe that Jesus is the one Lord, and that you have faith in Jesus. Have unity in the essentials. One God and Father of all. In verse 6, it says, "Who is over all and through all and in all." So who's this talking about? Who are all? He's talking about the body of Christ. Believers, Christians, only Christians, all Christians. One God and Father of all. He is over all believers. What that means is that he is the sovereign Lord. He is over them. He is God. And through all. That means he lives and manifests through them. Manifests himself through them. He is in them. He lives through all believers. And he manifests himself in them. Let me rephrase. We all have the same Father, right? This means that we're all brothers and sisters. Can a family unit survive if brothers and sisters are constantly quarreling? Is it edifying to have in a family brothers and sisters fighting all the time? Is it encouraging? Right? Is it encouraging for your brothers and sisters to fight all the time? To not get along? We all have the same Father. And when these brothers and sisters get along and get along well, and granted, sometimes it takes work, just like in a marriage, right? It's not always easy. It's not always to be a brother or a sister. It's easy for us to be selfish. One God and Father of all. Paul is showing us this is how you be united. Know the bigger picture. So that answers the what. I'd like to transition to the answer of why, the question of why. So the reason we are united, the reason we seek to be united, the reason we put effort into be united is not only because Jesus tells us to, as we just read, but because we love him, right? Doesn't the body love the head as well, right? We serve the head as well. Not only do we put, and I say we as in women, not only do we put makeup on, right, but we also comb our hair. We also read books. We also challenge ourselves in our minds. We love him, and he has blessed us with the gifts necessary to grow his church. Verses 14 and 16, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. He's saying, we're not infants anymore, right? We're not just put in the crib by somebody else. Wherever someone else lays us, that's where we lay. We're not that anymore. We're not infants. Rather, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. This is what a mature Christian looks like. He is united in the essentials. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the whole body grow. See the goal there? Growth. We're not babies. We're not infants. We're not precious little gems set in the crib as adults. We have a responsibility to act like adults. Act like adults in Christ. What does that look like? It looks like unity. He has blessed us with the gifts necessary to grow his church. Which brings us to our next question, how? How are we to be united in the essentials? How are we to be united in doctrine? As verse 14 suggests, so that we may no longer be infants tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. How? The Bible answers this. With our gifts. If you see in verse 7, it says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. What are these gifts? And what are they for? In verse 11, it says, and he gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, he gave the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity. Hear that. To maturity. Between this passage and the entire book of James, we don't have any excuses, right? Paul is showing us, this is your goal. Grow up as believers and sisters, and as believers in Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Mature. He's saying, you don't just sit there. We're not here to be served. We're here to serve. Right? We're not here to be entertained. Turn Netflix off. Read your Bible. Understand what he's saying. I can't say this enough. Psalm 90, verse 12. Moses says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We're not here for very long. We might think it's long, but in the eyes of eternity, this is a drop in the bucket. Use your time wisely. Be united. What this passage is saying, verses 11 through 13, it's saying he's given you gifts, right? You have other members of the body who have these gifts. And you yourself have a gift. We'll have to take a survey. I'll give a survey out sometime so you can clearly see what your gifting is. But he's saying, use these gifts. This is the how. How do we live a life of unity with all people? How do we live a life of unity? How are we united? How do we be united with other people? Effort. So there's several lessons that we can get out of this discussion today. One being how to read the Bible with a questioning mind, right? Secondly, that we should be united in the essentials. And thirdly, that it is our responsibility to guard, protect, and preserve that unity. Be united. Love your brothers and sisters. Encourage them. Don't be negative. Lift them up. Sometimes we talk with negative undertones, you know? Like, I can't think of an example right off the top of my head, but yeah. Watch what we say. There's a reason that words of encouragement is one of the five love languages. There's a reason for that, right? Because we need it. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. We're commanded to encourage one another. We are commanded to lift others up. Protect and preserve and guard that unity. That's our responsibility. Have unity in the essentials, in the essential doctrines. Next week we'll be talking about the non-essentials and what that might look like. In any event, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can look at your word and understand what it says so clearly. Not only that there is one Lord and one baptism, one faith, but that we just understand what it looks like to be united with another. That we have something to follow, Lord. Lord, we pray that you just have your hands upon us. Encourage us, Lord. Help us to see how to encourage one another and build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, that's the goal. That's the goal in this passage. Be united. Lord, show us. Help us dwell on it this week, Lord. Help these words not to not to leave us. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And because your Holy Spirit is in us, Lord, we have the ability to love one another. Help us to listen to the Spirit's promptings, Lord. We praise you and worship you, Lord. Lord, this is all about you. You love your body, Lord. We pray that you just help us to do our part. Help us to see. Help us to see clearly, Lord. Guide us and direct us. We praise you and worship you. We thank you, Jesus, for your work on the cross. We thank you that there is only one Lord. There is one true God. We thank you for giving us your word that we may analyze it. Lord, there's nothing on earth that has been analyzed and criticized so much. There's nothing on earth like the Bible. And yet it's still here. Your words will never pass away. Lord, help us to see and understand and put these to use, Lord. Help us to grow in you. Lord, that's the goal. Maturity. Help us to be mature believers, Lord. Guide us and direct us in every area in our life. We praise you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.